Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Alan Lichtman, an American political historian who teaches at American University and has studied both the American right and the presidency. He is the author of The Keys to the White House, A Surefire Way to Predicting the Next President. His prediction systems correctly predicted the outcomes of all U.S. presidential elections since 1984, including the last election, when against all odds he predicted a Trump victory. He's the author of the national bestseller, The Case for Impeachment, and his latest book is The Embattled Vote in America, From the Founding to the Present. Welcome to Background Briefing, Alan Lichtman.
Thank you, Ian.
And Alan, we've had an election, but the embattled vote is more embattled than ever. It was bad enough before the elections and during the elections, but now, after the election, several incredibly important races have essentially got hung juries. And the idea that we're going to have a recount in Florida raises all kinds of memories of 2000, butterfly ballots, etc. So what confidence can we have? Obviously, it's hard to have confidence in our electoral systems in general, but what confidence do you have in these recounts?
Not much. Not in Florida, not in Georgia. Georgia was the poster child of voter suppression under Secretary of State Brian Kemp, who both was administering the election and running as the Republican candidate for governor, one of the most blatant conflicts of interest we've seen in this country. And he was responsible for a whole host of voter suppression measures. And one has to wonder, in a fair election, if he actually would have won that contest against Stacey Abrams. So I don't have a whole lot of confidence in Georgia. And of course, we know Florida is notorious for its political biases. But I have to say one very positive thing did come out of Florida. The voters are not the same, it seems, as the Republican government. The voters voted to re-enfranchise some 1.4 million former felons. People had paid their debt to society, yet had lost their civil rights to vote. Now they can vote again. And if those folks had the opportunity to vote, there's no doubt these elections would have turned out quite differently. And we don't know what other voter suppression measures may have turned those Florida elections as well as Georgia. You know, I think the last count in the Senate race, the Democrat Bill Nelson was only about 22,000 votes behind. You know, that's a whisker in Florida where you're casting something like 9 million ballots. So who knows?
Well, it's, you know, there are records of extraordinary abuse of the electoral system and disappearing ballots. Just recently, the Democratic supervisor of elections was found in May to have broken state and federal laws by destroying ballots cast in Debbie Wasserman Schultz's 2016 Democratic primary.
Yes.
So it's not just the Republicans. There's something, because of course the butterfly ballot was also a creature of a Democratic election supervisor back in 2000.
In Palm Beach County.
Right. But there does seem to be some deliberate mendacity on the part of Kemp. I mean, the record is pretty extraordinary. 53,000 votes that were suppressed at the last minute. I think, I can't remember what the exact figures are, but since his tenure, they've purged the rolls of over a million voters. I think a tenth or even a sixth of the count in Georgia. So
yeah, Brian Kemp is notorious for cheating.
So,
and of course, in the last minute, a couple of days before the election, he announces that they are investigating the Democrats for hacking into the election technology without a shred of evidence.
Right.
You know, that was one of the most blatantly political shenanigans that I've ever seen.
Well, don't you think he's following the cue of his president? I mean, who pulls off those stunts on a daily basis?
Yeah.
Remember, he was going to have a middle-class tax cut before the elections, even though the House was not in session. So,
yes, and these poor people fleeing horrible conditions in Central America are Middle Eastern terrorists, mm-hmm. M13 gang members, thugs. You know, the mendacity knows no limits with Donald Trump. And Brian Kemp is cut in the same mold.
So let's then try and figure out where the moral compass is in this country with Americans themselves. I mean, we know that a majority of Americans vote Democrat, but the results are not reflected. An example that recently emerged was that the senators who voted against Kavanaugh's confirmation got 38 million more votes than the Republicans who voted to confirm Kavanaugh.
Absolutely.
And we know, of course,
because, you know, Republicans win in small states with few people.
Right.
You know, North Dakota, with less than a million people, has the same number of senators as California, you know, with tens upon tens of millions of people.
So it doesn't seem...
we're stuck with 18th century mechanisms.
Right, but it doesn't seem to bother the Republicans that the vote is not free and fair and it's not a level playing field. So does it bother the majority of the American people? In other words, have we reached a point where power is more important than principle?
Seems to be. You know, we've seen absolutely spineless Republicans put party and power above patriotism, putting no checks of any kind on Donald Trump. We get empty rhetoric every once in a while. You know, Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, saying there'll be hell to pay if Trump stops the Mueller investigation. And we know he's not going to do a darn thing if, you know, this Trump loyalist who's just been appointed throttles the Mueller investigation. Lindsey Graham and the like will show no principle whatsoever. I have no confidence. But there is a check here. And the Democrats did win the House. Gerald Nadler, a very smart, very shrewd, very experienced member of the House from New York, will become chairman of the Judiciary Committee, which has responsibility for impeachment investigations. And he has an even better credential. He was my high school debate partner back in the 1960s at Stuyvesant High School in New York. And the Democrats can't put their finger in the wind. They can't do political calculations because they don't know. They simply have to do their constitutional duty. And if Whitaker throttles the Mueller investigation, he doesn't even have to fire Mueller. He can just essentially shut it down, which he's actually advocated in the past. Well, if he does that, the House Judiciary Committee should put politics to the rear burner and immediately begin an impeachment investigation, because combined with everything else that the president has done, if his stooge throttles the Mueller investigation, that would be a vastly stronger case for obstruction of justice than the case against Bill Clinton in 1998, and virtually every Republican in the House, don't forget, voted an article of impeachment on obstruction of justice against Bill Clinton on a vastly less consequential matter than conspiring with the Russians to undermine our democracy.
And again, I'm speaking with Alan Lichtman, who's an American political historian who teaches at American University and has studied both the American right and the presidency. His books include The Keys to the White House, A Surefire Way to Predicting the Next President, and his prediction systems correctly predicted the outcomes of all U.S. presidential elections since 1984, including the last election, when against all odds he predicted a Trump victory. He's the author of the national bestseller, The Case for Impeachment, and his latest book is The Embattled Vote in America, From the Founding to the Present. So when Kellyanne Conway's husband writes a piece along with Neil Katyal, both of whom are pretty well regarded in the law, that Matthew Whitaker, constitutionally speaking, Matthew Whitaker is a nobody. That, even though the law is laid down by the very conservative, the most conservative, in fact, Trump's favorite justice, Justice Thomas, in his opinion in the NLRB case, that you can't appoint people like this character, Whitaker, under the Vacancy Act, and because he doesn't have the seniority, that's a law case. That's not going to go anywhere. And you mentioned...
Nowhere.
You mentioned the subpoena power of the Democrats, which will come into effect next year. Won't Trump just ignore the subpoenas?
I think Trump will, but yeah. I'm not sure others will. Trump believes that the Supreme Court is now part of the Trump Organization, you know, a wholly owned subsidiary, and they'll rubber stamp anything that Trump does, including ignoring subpoenas. By the way, one of the articles of impeachment voted against Richard Nixon in the House Judiciary Committee that led to his resignation was ignoring lawful subpoenas of the Congress. But Trump won't care about that. In my book, The Case for Impeachment, I have a whole chapter called Flouting the Law, showing all the way back to the 1970s, repeatedly, time again, as a businessman, even before he became president, Trump showed an utter disregard for the law. And that has continued into his presidency. Trump cares about only one thing. And anyone who doesn't see that is either blind or self-serving. Trump cares about one thing, Trump. Nothing else matters. As Michael Cohen learned, Trump has no loyalty to anyone, even his most faithful minions.
Right, but Trump, of course, has been one step ahead of the sheriff for the longest time, going right back through the 70s and 80s, when clearly the Russians rescued him from bankruptcy on a number of occasions. And it's even very likely that he was laundering hundreds of billions of money stolen by the KGB, laundered through Manhattan real estate, stolen from the...
And that's what he's most afraid of. From
yeah,
the
well, they even...
It even looks... Financial crimes.
Exactly. It even looks like the KGB set him up in those casinos for this specific purpose of laundering money. We know that Mueller's looking now... The latest person in the crosshairs, of course, is Roger Stone. But given Trump's record of being one step ahead of the sheriff and having contempt for the law... And I don't think he wanted this job, and he didn't think he'd get it. And the fact that he's now president has brought unusual scrutiny, which is what's got him so terrified. And that's why yesterday's press conference, I think he was just so hysterical and combative. I think this guy is terrified. But on the other hand...
And well, he should be.
Right.
And well, he should be.
But has he has he found in Whitaker, has he found his Roy Cohn?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt. What other reason could there possibly be for appointing this guy who, as you point out, has absolutely no standing in the legal community, absolutely no qualifications to be the Attorney General of the United States? Whatever you may think of Jeff Sessions, and I have huge problems with Jeff Sessions, at least he was qualified to be Attorney General. It's his policies and his outlook that I objected to. This Whitaker fellow has none of the qualifications, none of the requisites to be Attorney General of the United States. It's a disgrace.
So, I mean, you know, we just had an election in which the Democrats won back the House. And, of course, the bad news for Democrats is that the Republicans extended their control of the Senate, which means that all of the outstanding judicial appointments will be pushed through the Senate. And there's even more Trump loyalists now in the Senate. So Trump will have the ability to even stack the judiciary more with far-right-wing, unqualified, really bottom of the barrel jurists. You know, the law professors at the big law schools are tearing their hair out, saying the worst people in the classes are the ones that are being promoted to the federal bench. So that's what's going on. That's going to go on at warp speed. So it's obviously a mixed picture.
So
give us your diagnosis of, you know, we had a political energy up to this election. And that political energy should be sustained. And there's demonstrations across the country today warning against shutting down the Mueller investigation led by Indivisible. It seems to me that this is not the time to rest. This is the time to get up and fight again.
Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. And with someone with the authoritarian tendencies of Donald Trump, his self-absorption, his disregard for the law, vigilance is needed more than ever, because there is no way any of the Republicans who now control the Senate are going to put any check on him. And the people have to keep the pressure on the only body that could possibly check him, and that's the House, and make sure that we don't have meaningless political calculations clouding what the House must do, and that is their constitutional duty to start an impeachment investigation if Trump's minion interferes with the Mueller investigation. Understand, as I wrote in the case for impeachment, that impeachment is not some catastrophic event. The founders put impeachment in the Constitution very advisedly as a peaceful, legal, and constitutional means of dealing with a rogue president. And they knew there would be a rogue president because they had a very practical, down-to-earth sense of human nature. And it is the constitutional duty of the House, if we have a president committing high crimes and misdemeanors, such as obstructing an investigation that touches on him, his administration, and his campaign, then they must, because it is their constitutional duty to begin an impeachment investigation, and no political calculation should stand in the way of that.
Well, the problem is, though, just in closing, Alan Lichtman, is that there's so many aspects of the Trump administration's criminality and ethical swamp that they haven't drained, that they're filling up, in fact. Look at this guy, Whitaker. He previously was a paid advisor to one of these bottom-feeding invention promotion companies in Florida that was accused by the U.S. government of running a multi-million dollar scam. And court records show that Whitaker sent threatening emails to the victims of this alleged scam who tried to complain. So he seems to fit in well with these pirates like the Commerce Secretary and others who have an absolutely extraordinary record of corruption. Just the other day, somebody pointed out to me, and I'm going to look into it, obviously, that the latest scandal that nobody's paying attention to is that these waivers on tariffs that the Trump administration are granting seem to be very arbitrary and may well be tied to corruption and political favors that big corporations are being given by Trump. So that's just one.
I don't know about that, but no. It hardly surprised me. Nothing that Trump does surprises me.
Right, but I bring it up, though, just in closing, Alan, to point out that from the Democrats' point of view about where do you start investigations, there's so many investigations you could start. You can't spread it so thin. You got to be focused,
surely.
No,
you can't. That's right. It's got to be focused, I think, on three things. Obstruction of justice, conspiracy with the Russians to rig the election. I have no doubt that such a conspiracy existed. Whether Trump directed it or not, I don't know, but there's just so much smoke there, there's got to be fire. And thirdly, serious financial crimes. You know, there are half a dozen other things that you can go after, the emoluments clause, going after the press, but I think those are the big three that the House needs to focus on.
Well, Alan Lichtman, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Anytime, Ian. Take care.
Thank you. And again, I've been speaking with Alan Lichtman, who's the American political historian who teaches at American University and has studied both the American right and the presidency. His books include The Keys to the White House, A Surefire Way to Predicting the Next President, and his prediction system has correctly predicted the outcomes of all U.S. presidential elections since 1984, including the last election when, against all odds, he predicted a Trump victory. The author of the national bestseller, The Case for Impeachment, his latest book is The Embattled Vote in America, From the Founding to the Present. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at backgroundbriefing.org. We can also contact me, and I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.